All right, I want to read this one part here, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. My goodness. All right, we're talking on the subject of this faith that overcomes the world. And we talked last night a little bit about title deed, ownership, private property, and how we take possession of that which belongs to us. And tonight we want to go further in talking about fighting the good fight. Let's go back to Habakkuk. Oh, goodness. Habakkuk in chapter 2. I'll give you how much time we got. I'll give you... We'll put it on the board. Habakkuk chapter 2. All right, I'm going to start Habakkuk chapter 2. And you can go back to table of contents and get it, but look on the board. Verse 2. Okay, y'all got it. Okay, all right. Okay. Well, we fighting folks in here. It's faith here now. All right, look what it says in verse 2. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables that he, chapter 2 and verse 2, pardon me. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Okay? I wanted to read that one specifically because that one brings out the fact that the just shall live by his faith. And that's very key for us to develop our own faith, because God wants you to live by your faith. Okay. Now, I'm saying that because Jesus was carrying the disciples on his faith, but now he's trying to transition them for them to live by their own faith. All right? Now, remember what we said last night, that everyone has been given the measure of faith. So nobody gave any more to Oral Roberts. Nobody gave more to Brother Hagin. Nobody gave any more to whoever than they gave to you. God gave us the same measure of faith. Now, it's up to us to develop that faith. So you and I are going to have to go into the workout room, and we're going to have to work out. Come on now. We're going to have to start developing our faith, because the more faith you have, of course, the more you can do and the more you can receive from God. So we want to make sure that faith is developed. Now, we said some things about faith, and let me maybe talk about a couple of those. Those in the right papers. Okay. All right. Just a second here. Praise God. In Jesus' name. Wait a minute. Okay. Wait a minute. This is not right. By faith, this paper is going to show up. Okay. No, I wrote some things on the side. I'm not sure where they are. But anyway. All right. Faith. We said that faith is a substance. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And the Bible says, that's found in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And by faith, the elders obtained a good report. And by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, that the things that were seen were not made by things that do appear. Verse 3. It's up there, yeah. And so he is saying that God made the worlds, but he didn't make it out of anything that you could see. Somebody said, well, God made the world out of nothing. No, he didn't. He made it out of faith. And faith is a substance that you can't see. And so faith was in God that God released through his words. Words are carriers. And it carried faith into a place where the Holy Ghost was working there. And he was hovering, waiting, brooding, waiting for the word. The word filled with what? With faith. With faith. So once it got filled with faith, that word came in, he manifested it. You know, I look at that kind of like concrete. If you take concrete and you're going to pour a sidewalk, the first thing they do is frame it. And they take that frame and they put it straight down here where the sidewalk's going to go. And that frame is normally made out of wood. So they're going to frame the sidewalk. So now they come in with a concrete truck, and the concrete truck pours the concrete, and the concrete goes down and it fits the frame. You got what I'm saying? It fits the frame. So the worlds were framed by the word of God. And this faith came in that fit that frame, and notice the concrete hardened. Well, when faith goes forth, when faith is at its full, then the Holy Ghost manifests. So now you see something that you've never seen before, and faith can dominate or faith can create. We'll talk about a little of that as we go along here. I just want to make sure that I know I had something that I wrote down on those sides, and this is it. Well, maybe it's here somewhere, okay? Maybe it'll just appear as I'm teaching. Isn't that something? That's faith, isn't it? Amen. All right. Okay, as we look at this, one of the things that we said that the just shall live by his faith, living by faith. And living by faith is using your faith every day. I'm going to quit my job and go out on the park bench and feed the birds and live by faith. No, that's not the right idea. Because if you can't use your faith with a job, you're going to starve without one. No, it's living by faith. It's using your faith every day right where you are. Now, I want to give you something, and I want you to really think about this. This is a faith teaching, but I want you to really grasp what I'm about to say right now. Living by faith is using your faith every day. This is every day, 24/7, every day, every week, every month, every year. And it's exercising your faith for every single thing that has to do with your life. That's a powerful statement right there. Exercising your faith every day for every single thing that has to do with your life. Now, that is not a casual statement I just made. That statement, if you just took it in with your intellect, you just missed it. That statement, you have to write it so you can meditate that statement. The idea, I believe, is that God gives us faith so that we can produce heaven's atmosphere. Heaven's atmosphere. He wants you to live here just like you're already there. Because in the garden was heaven's atmosphere. And that atmosphere, he wants to be around your life. That people actually are pushing, pressing to get to that atmosphere. Around you, you are living by faith. There's nothing around you. There's no hostility with you. There is no sadness with you. There is no lack with you. There is no sickness with you. People want to press in to get around you because that atmosphere is around you. Are you following what I'm saying? So I believe, this is my feeling now, or sense, is that's why he wants us to live by faith. And I think what has happened is people are saying faith is a movement. And I think they're saying faith is a movement because they looked at faith as a gimmick. See, my name is Jimmy. I'll take all you gimme. You know what I'm saying? They looked at faith as a gimmick. See, I just want that big house up there. I'm gonna use my faith. See, that is not quite how faith is supposed to be used. You got what I'm saying? Now understand, there is a house in this scripture that belongs to you. Okay? And faith is an international currency. So you can come and buy with no money. Are you with me? Now understand, God will give you, you use your faith, God will give you that house. He might give you the money to buy it, or he might give you the house. I know one guy, and a guy called him and said, hey, I want you to come look at this house. God told me, something told me to give you this house. And he said, you know, he was in Las Vegas and he was doing some things. And he said, I would lay down to go to sleep. And someone said, get up and give that man your house. And, well, hallelujah. And so he got this preacher and gave him the house. And I when I went to California, the preacher told me, said, come on in, you got to see this house. And the house is appraised at that time at $7.5 million. And it had everything. I mean, the servant's house was bigger than normal houses. So my point to you is, he might give you a house, it may not. May give you a car, may not. May give you the money to get it. But either way, the way you're going to get it is through arrest. You see, you're going to labor all right, but your labor is going to be in the Word. In other words, you're working true enough. Somebody said, well, I'm just going to sit on the park bench. No, you're not, because God has restrictions against those people who don't want to work. But my point to you is that you're not working for a living, because all the things that God's going to do for you have already been laid up for you, and it's called inheritance. And you get it by faith. Say amen to that. And it's everything. It doesn't make any difference what area you're in, what profession you're in. It doesn't make any difference. You get a chance to use your faith. You're a physician or in a doing a surgical operation or something like that, you get a chance to use your faith. You're a bricklayer and so forth, you architect, you're keeping home for somebody, you get a chance to use your faith. You'll find that wherever you are, it's going to be that you're going to have a chance to use your faith. Say amen to that. Amen. Now, in this, when you and I are going over to the other side, just a minute, I see what's happening here. Just a minute. That paper is not here. Yeah, here it is. Praise God. All right. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, please. Now, did you get my first point now? The just shall live how? By his faith. And that faith that he's given you is a measure of faith that you have to start exercising. And Jesus is the author and what? Finisher or developer of your faith. So he is taking the disciples to the other side. And he take them to the other side. Why? Because his job, part of why he came, is not only to make sure you have faith, but to help develop your faith. All right, over in 1 Timothy, pardon me, did I say 1 Timothy or 2nd? I said 1 Timothy, all right. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Okay, it says here in verse 12, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold of eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. All right, so fight the good fight of faith. All right, now, faith is your only fight. Okay? You don't have to fight people, denominations, or anything else. Your fight is faith. Now, why is that? Because whether you know it or not, you have been born in the middle of a war. And this warfare involves you, whether you're conscious of it or desire for it to be or not. You're born right in the middle of it. When you got born again, you got the measure of faith. The devil doesn't like that, because faith will defeat him every time. He does not want you to develop your faith. So, here's the fight. We call it a good fight because you win every time. In fact, over in 2 Corinthians and chapter 2 and verse 14, he says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Always causes us to triumph. You don't win a few, lose a few. You win every one of them. If you look at John chapter 16, he says something at the very end of that chapter, in chapter 16, verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, this is Jesus talking, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Another translation says that Satan has been deprived of his right and ability to hurt or destroy you or make you fail. That's another translation of that. He can't make you fail. But you've got to stay with faith. So the Bible talks to you in Hebrews, if you over there with me very quickly. And Hebrews, it talks about you and I, that we have to hold fast. That's Hebrews chapter 10. And he says this, verse 35, cast not, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, cast not away therefore your what? Confidence, which has great, come on, recompense of reward. Keep going. For you have need of patience. What's another name for patience there? Endurance. This patience doesn't mean sitting by the dock of the bay waiting on time to roll away. That's not patience. Patience in this Greek has to do with not being moved by adverse circumstances. Endurance. You are sitting right through this because you've applied your faith, and faith never fails. It'll always do the job. So you are going to hold fast the confidence of your faith, confidence which has great recompense and reward. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, say, I've done the will of God, that you might receive what? Receive the promise. Okay. All right? So in that fight, in the middle of that fight, you have to understand that the enemy is after your faith. He's not after you. He's after your faith. And that faith worketh by love. Got it? Faith worketh by love. So in the middle of that, you can't get mad and go off on somebody. I'm just putting it, can I put it in everyday terms? You can't, because that's another way that he has of destroying your faith. Because faith needs a platform of love to keep functioning. All right? Now, let's look at something else. Let's look at a typical example here. Let's go to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And in Mark chapter 4, this is when Jesus, again, is leading them to the other side. Now, it's amazing how you can read this Bible, like I said, and you read it one time, you read something. But if you keep reading and let the Holy Ghost teach you, He'll give you a revelation of things that perhaps you didn't see the first time you read it through. And each time you do that, revelation builds your faith. You follow what I'm saying? Because it's the light of God's word that you need. Glory to God. Look what it says in verse 35. In the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him of the little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, the waves beat into the ship, so it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they awake him, and they said to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now that's accusation. I said, that's accusation. So as you're moving by faith, the enemy might come to bring accusation against you. Come on now. The enemy might try to remind you of your past and what you've done. Come on now. The enemy, I'm talking about these things that are designed to sink your faith. And that condemnation piece is very, very important because God has spoken the fact that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are made righteous. Say amen to that. Amen. Now, God is a faith God. Say he's a faith God. So when he looks at you, he looks at you through the blood. Through the blood. Come on now. And if you have missed it in any way, and he said, you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to do what? Forgive your sins. And what else? Cleanse you of all unrighteousness. The blood cleanses your conscience. Why? So that you can be able to receive from God. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned and their conscience got darkened or they got guilty and ashamed, notice they ran from God because they could no longer fellowship with God. You can't fellowship with God with a guilty conscience. Your guilt is crying out louder than the voice of God. And what you have to do is have to confess the thing and receive it by faith that you are forgiven. You see, God knew when you got born that you were going to do that today. Say amen to that. And the point of it is the blood of Jesus is designed to cleanse that conscience of dead works. Why? So the Bible says in Hebrews 9 that you can serve the living God because he wants you to keep serving him. He wants you to keep being used as a vessel for him to rescue lost souls. Say amen to that. So I need to receive that cleansing because the enemy is the accuser of the brethren. And he accuses folks day and night. Say amen to that. But once I receive it, I got to receive it how? By faith. I can't feel it. I just got to know that if I followed these steps, he forgave me. And if he forgave me, I'm going to forgive myself. Say amen to that. And righteousness is key to the faith of God flowing in your life. Lord, have mercy. I'm going to show you that one real quick. And leave something right there. Let's go to, if you will, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. All right, hallelujah. Okay, amen. Praise the Lord. Look what it says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. Have you got it? Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through what? The righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. When you understand that you are the righteousness of God and act on that righteousness, your faith will flow like a flood. Look what it said in 1 Peter chapter 3. Come on back, one page, 1 Peter chapter 3. And look at verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the who? Righteous. Keep going. And their ears, keep going. His ears are open to their prayers. All right, now what am I saying? I'm saying that once you know that you are the righteousness of God, you don't need to feel anything. When an unrighteous, when a person feels sense of unrighteousness or unworthiness, then they have to get other people to pray for them because they don't feel like God heard them. Because that unrighteousness takes away faith and substitutes it with feeling. And so it's all feeling now. You follow what I'm saying? And you don't operate with God by feeling. God responds to what? He responds to faith. It doesn't respond to feeling. It responds to feeling. Everybody over there in Africa be having plenty. But they're starving over there. Some people are, because he doesn't, he's bound himself by his word. Say amen to that. And he said, according to your what? Faith be it unto you. Matthew chapter 9. So it's according to your faith be it unto you. So he's responding to that. Now somebody said, well, he has mercy on us. True enough. He has mercy on us if you have faith in his mercy. Got it? All right, now, so let's read one more. Let's read one more, because what we're doing now is we're taking you past the five senses, which we started last night, and we're taking you now into the realm of faith, which has no feeling. And most of the church has not gone there because we want to feel something. Oh boy, didn't you feel God last night? Man, you realize what'll happen? You felt God. It'll be like standing behind a 747 taking off and so forth. Your hair will be on fire. Let's go over to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Let me know when you get there. All right, look at what it said in verse 14. And this is the confidence. What's another word for confidence, you think? Okay. All right. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, keep going, he heareth us. And if we know, come on, that he hear us, keep going, whatsoever we ask, we know that we what? Have, keep going, the petition that we desire of him. Now, how do you know that he heard you? According to this right here. Because you ask how? According to his will. Now, do you know that he heard you because you felt it?
No.
Do you know that he heard you because somebody prophesied?
No.
Do you know that he heard you because you got goosebumps?
No.
Do you know that he heard you because you had three Great Danes barking the Star Spangled Banner out at your house at midnight tonight? No, you know that he heard you because you ask according to his will. Now, notice what I'm doing. I'm saying that true faith is operating independent of anything, of circumstances, feelings, anything in the sense realm. That's true believing. I believe God's word. I believe what he said, and this is what I know is going to happen right here. Exactly what he said. Say amen to that. Now, this is what I'm trying to show you, because I got to pull you off the senses now. Because for us to go where God wants us to go, and faith is a your destiny is faith defined. If I got to go to my destiny, I got to make sure that I got faith working and not feelings. Because if got feelings working somewhere along the line, my boat may get sunk. Are you with me? All right, come back to Mark chapter 4, please. All right, Mark chapter 4, verse 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and they said to him, Master, don't you care that we're about to die? I'm putting it in my own words now. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said to them, Why are you so what?
Fearful.
How is it that you have, come on, no faith? All right. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Now, the world basically is fear-based. Glory to God. The world is basically fear-based. In other words, that's pretty much the way the world operates. It operates by fear. You have to operate by faith. There is a piece of paper here, though, that I do not exactly see. You know, sometimes when I'm preparing, I'm so in the spirit until I thought I wrote it. That's the truth. And I know I put some categories of things and I don't see those. So that's kind of amazing. Okay. All right, I can go on. I mean, I know what I'm talking about, so that's all that matters. Okay. Now, they're going over to the other side. I want to bring a point out here. And here comes a storm. Now, if you go to the next chapter, of which we're not going to right now, you will see that that storm was not something of Mother Nature. I don't know where we get that from. It was not something that just happened. This storm was designed to kill him. And it was something that Satan was using and stirred up through this channel that he was using called this demoniac over in the Gadarenes. Are y'all with me? All right. Now, if you don't think the enemy tries to stir up storms, all you have to do is look in Job's life. And he used that storm to bring a hurricane and crashed in on his kids and killed them. So I'm just saying that you and I are sent here to preserve life. Yeah, glory to God now. So now here they're going to the other side. Here's my point. This is one point I want to make. That just because you have opposition and have a battle that you're waging does not mean that you miss God. Come on now. Some people, as soon as they get a little opposition, they think, well, if it's the Lord's will, he'll make it happen. Yeah, right. It is the Lord's will, but you're going to help make it happen. In the middle of that battle, you got to decree the victory. In the middle of that battle, you got to say, peace, you be still. Jesus just did not sit there and wait on that storm to pass. That storm was designed to steal their faith and drown that boat and take that boat under. That was the storm. Now, it wouldn't have killed Jesus because he had the faith, but he was in the boat with them and his mission was to develop their faith, to make it so that he could leave and they could use their faith to do the things that he has done. So now in this particular case, fear came in on them. Now, fear is a spirit. Glory to God. Woo. Let's go over there. Let's go over to 2 Timothy in chapter 1. Fear is a spirit. And understand, can your flesh feel a spirit? Usually now. I mean, can you feel an angel around you? No. Usually you can't feel a spirit. The flesh and the spirit realm are two different realms, all right? But that spirit of fear is sent many times as the main one to stop your forward progress. That spirit of fear. And that spirit of fear is the single greatest obstacle to success in the kingdom, fear. And this spirit is a strong man. That if you go back and look at, don't go back there now, but back in Deuteronomy 7, he talks about Joshua, you're going to take the land, or Moses, going to take the land. He said, now, there are the Hittites, the Amorites, the Hivites, parasites. No, I'm just kidding. But But they're all these spirits. But this Hittite is a descendant of Heth, Heth having to do with the descendant of coming down from Noah's children. And this spirit, the word Heth, now I don't want to say the spirit is descendant of Heth, that's not true. The spirit itself is a fear spirit. And the Hittites come from the descendants of Heth from Noah. And this term Heth has to do with terror. And these are spirits sent to terrorize. These are the same spirits that the terrorists use. And you could see when they attack, whole cities go into fear. Now, I'm saying that these spirits, Lord have mercy, can I show you this? Got to put something right there. And let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 7, please. Just Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Let me know when you get there. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Verse 1. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hast cast many nations before thee, cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, there it is right there, right? The Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, seven nations, underline the next word, greater and mightier than you are. Got it? But with God, come on now, with God, all things are possible. See, faith does the impossible. Why? Because it hooks you with God. It releases God's ability. So you have God with you that you can put the spirit of fear underfoot. Y'all don't seem to be impressed with this, but come on back, 2 Timothy, please. Lord have mercy. Okay. All right, what I'm saying is understand that's one of the first greatest obstacles to your forward progress. Whether or not you're trying to come out of debt, whether or not you're trying to get a new job, that spirit of fear will come on you and say, hey, you're going to go for the interview, but you're going to mess up. Or let's say a person is planning on getting married. That spirit of fear said, you don't want to get married because you know that person. Yeah, you don't know. They divorce is a lot. Or let's say a person is whatever they're doing. The spirit of fear is wherever you're going that you're going to better your life, where you're going to manifest the kingdom of God or whatever. That spirit of fear is there as a front spirit to try to block your travel. But if you stay in faith, you'll make it to your destiny. Because your destiny is faith defined. That you stay in faith, you'll make it there every time. Say amen. All right, so if you go back over here, he said in verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of what? Fear, but of what? Power, keep going, love, and what kind of mind? A sound mind. Now this is interesting because he's talking about fear here, but if you know who he's talking here, this is one of the pastoral epistles, he's talking to Timothy. And he's gonna remind Timothy, this came out of reminding Timothy of where he came from. Look what it said in verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother, Lois, and in thy mother, Eunice, and I'm persuaded it's in you too. So notice what he's saying here. Hey, let me remind you where you came from. So it's interesting that part of our job is to teach our children faith. Part of our job is to hand down a legacy of faith. Say amen to that. Our children must see us take a stand of faith against the adversary. our children are the ones God chooses you. Genesis 18 and 19, he chose Abraham because he would teach his children. And look what it did. It passed down to three generations, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know it passed down to Isaac because Abraham told the men, he said, I'm going to go up here and I'm going to offer my boy up to the Lord. Boy, get some wood. And you know he went and got the wood. So you know he must be walking in a little faith for his father to strap him down on that barbecue pit, on that altar like that, and gonna kill him. Say amen to that. And I'm saying your children should see faith in your life. They should, watch this, hear your mouth talk faith. Say amen to that. You are to teach your kids faith, and they are not too young to learn it. When Jesus was preaching to the disciples up there in the multitude, about 20,000 people, he said, feed them. And they went over there and had a deacon board meeting or something and tried to figure out how much money they had. But there was a little boy. There was a young lad that had a lunchbox with a two-piece fish dinner. And he said, wait a minute, I got some. Can't you see him pulling on one of the disciples? I got some seed right here. He heard that message. The message of the gospel is so simple till even a young child can catch it. And I'm saying faith should be passed on as a heritage. Faith should be a legacy. It should hit at least three generations. It come on now. And when it comes in those three generations, usually it'll stick there. Praise God. I told you about Evie Hill. He said he saw his mother walk in faith. He saw it when they didn't have any food in the house. And he saw his mother go take him down to the neighbor's house. And the neighbor said, Cecile, would you and the boys like something to eat? She said this, no, we have plenty, thank you. And he wanted to say, we don't have anything at the house. Well, she was over in Romans 4:17 calling things that be not. Come on. And folks, when it works best is when you're in a tight spot. And you cannot be embarrassed about faith. And so he would get back home. She would sit at the dinner table, have them to set the place just like they had every kind of food they were about to serve. And she would get them to hold hands, she and all them kids, because her husband had gone on to be with the Lord. And she would start praying, and they'd hear something on the front step, boom, 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 boom. And the next thing you know, they'd go out there. And she said, go out there and see what that was. And go out there, and on the front porch, he wouldn't see anybody, but he'd look down, and there's an old croaker sack full of potatoes. There's a side of ham or beef. There's a little squash and so forth. He said he's seen it more than once. I'm telling you, I believe in those farms back there on those sharecroppers. I bet you there was broken bones back there that got healed just like that. I bet you, because somebody back there was walking by faith. The way those people came out was not Abraham Lincoln signing the Emancipation Proclamation. The only way he signed that is that somebody was using their faith. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that first dwelt in your grandmama. And then your grandmama passed it on to your mama. And I am persuaded that it's in you too. Praise God. That's what this is all about. It's about passing on a heritage of faith. I'm telling you, my children and my spiritual sons and daughters, I'm passing it on. You're going to see a faith man. You're going to see him talk faith. You're going to see faith presentation. You're going to see him bring faith up in every conversation. You're going to see him demand that you talk by faith and walk by faith. Why? Because we're going to pass faith on. When God comes back, he is going to find faith in this church. So the last thing, let's go back over there again to Mark chapter 4. Boy, I had to preach that one. Fight the good fight of what?
Faith.
Now, the battle doesn't mean that you miss God. More than likely, it means that you're on a perfect path. Perfect path. The Lord Jesus is a good example for you. He fought every step of the way. From the baby crib to the time he was hanging on that cross. And they said, if you are really who you say you are, bring yourself down. He said, Father, forgive them. That's faith, folks. What am I saying? He never missed God once. And he had a fight from his birth to his death. So what are we doing? We want to get all the doubt out of your heart. Let's go to Mark, please. Mark chapter 11. This is the word of God. Doubt, one man said, is the greatest weakness of men. If you'll look and see back in Eve's life in Genesis chapter 3, that's what happened. She doubted just for a minute whether God really held anything back from him. He didn't. But Satan caused her to doubt. And he says in verse 23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Peter got out on the water and was walking on the water, but he looked away from Jesus and considered his circumstances, and doubt came in. He began to sink. Notice, doubt destroyed the supernatural. And I'm telling you, doubt not. Lester Summerall, Dr. Summerall says, treat doubt like dope. Stay away from it. Whenever your heart begins to doubt, feed it faith. Get a faith tape. Get in the Bible and read it for about half an hour. And you'll starve your doubts to death. So what am I saying to you? Faith determines your destiny. Not the devil. Not some government. But faith does. And faith means that you have left the sense realm. And now you're in the realm of the eternal, the realm of faith. And faith, when it's working, will always bring you to the other side. Did you get something out of that tonight? Give the Lord a praise. If you're here and somebody in the house here is not saved, I'm asking you to give me a moment. If you can just hold your seat for just a moment. This is a very, very, very tender time. And you know in your life that through this message you've been touched. And you say, hey, I need to get my life fixed. I need to get back to God and get me some.